Church, it is good to be with you. It is not the first Sunday after New Year, and so we won't do it like all the time, but again, Happy New Year, right? Still fresh, still digging in. How is everyone's fast going? Okay. Some of you are feeling it right now. Is the hardest part of the fast is taking place currently. If you're just joining us this week, at the beginning of every year, so this year marking 2026, our church starts with a 21-day fast. So we are digging into prayer. We are digging into fasting. We are saying, God, less of me and less of all the things that I desire, and in its place, more of you. God, all we want is more of you. And so on behalf of myself and the rest of the pastoral staff, please know that we are praying for you. If you have no idea who I am, I'm Pastor Mitch. I'm the Kanata campus pastor. And we are right in the actually nearing the end now of Heart Strong. Season 8 is upon us. How many of you enjoyed Pastor Jason last week? Just wave at me real quick. Wasn't that so good? Oh my goodness. What a word that he delivered. I know it touched my heart. I pray that it touched yours. It was a challenging word, an encouraging word, a reminder of the journey that Jeremiah was about to step into, how uncomfortable he was with the journey that was presenting itself. Even though he didn't fully understand it, God laid it out that it was going to be uncomfortable. And so, you know, he started to really download that, and just an encouragement for each of us that God sees you. He sees us in this place, and he's not changed his mind about you. Hallelujah. And so as you are diving into the book of Jeremiah and beginning this 21 days of prayer and fasting, my prayer today is that you would leave this place encouraged. My prayer today is that you would dive headlong into your fast. Traditionally, it's around day 10 that the fast actually gets easier. And so if you're here today, you're like, listen, this has been a really hard week. Some of you have given up coffee and it shows. And listen, if you're in the middle of that fast and you're like, it's just been really, really difficult. It's okay. You're doing a great job. It's only day 7, 3 more days, and then it tends to get easier as you kind of hit that breaking point of saying, no, this is what I'm doing. I also wanted to speak to those that maybe you're fasting for the first time, or maybe you're here and giving up that thing that you thought, okay, I'm going to lay this before God. It's been harder than you thought. If this past week you slipped on your fast, can I encourage you today, start anew, right? I think it's important for us that we take this position of recognizing that fasting before the Lord is important. And a lot of times what will happen is that you'll start a 21-day fast, or you'll place something before you, and if you end up slipping up, the enemy will step in and say, ah, see, you never could do it. And instead of diving back in, we just give up. Right, Pastor Jason talked about it last week. What did he say? 6 days into people's New Year's resolutions, they say, never mind. Actually, I'm good. You know what's really hard? Getting to the gym every day. never mind, right? You're just in the middle of really trying to take that step towards saying, God, what is it that you would have for me in this season? Don't be surprised if the enemy tries to knock that down. We talked about this a few weeks ago, how the enemy doesn't know your future. And so the only thing that he can present to you is your past and your present. Only God holds your future. And so the enemy will try, because he can see where God is moving. He can see what God is doing. He will try to spoil the presence, the power, and the provision that God has in your life by stopping you dead in your tracks. And so, church, I just want to encourage you today, as Pastor Jason talked last week, as Jeremiah was stepping into his prophetic call for the first time, that one of the first messages that he was to give to Israel is how they were going to be uprooted, that God's plan was to tear down, that God needed to destroy and demolish. Because of their unfaithfulness, because of the situation that they had found themselves in, this was the prophecy that was given to Jeremiah. But God did not stop there. Amen? Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 9 to 10 says this: the Lord reached out his hand, touched Jeremiah's mouth, and told him, I have now filled your mouth with my words. See, I have appointed you today over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and demolish. Why? So that God could build and plant. for the nation of Israel so that he could restore and redeem. And church, as we look at the world in which we live in, maybe even at your own circle of influence, it is important to remember that whatever it is that God is doing in those situations where it feels like the storm is raging, it feels like God is silent, maybe it feels like God is distant, his eye has not turned from you, amen? Maybe some of you here today and you're saying, listen, I've been praying for my kids for years. God is on the move and he's at work in ways that you just don't know yet. But he is faithful. He is the one who will speak into that situation. He is the one with the power to turn to the storm and say, peace, be still. And in that moment, the storm must obey. Our God is the one who wants to redeem and restore the nation of Israel. And so he has chosen Jeremiah to do so. A lot of times when we begin in these seasons of fasting, when we begin in these seasons of really elevating the Lord so that we can be less, it allows us to position ourselves just as Jesus did, and the reminder that the one thing that God requires of us is surrender. God's desire for our life is that we would surrender to his ways. It is not our responsibility to uphold the covenant. Aren't you so thankful today for the cross? Because of the cross, you can confidently leave this place knowing that you are saved and set free. You can confidently leave this place knowing that all of your sins have been forgiven. Someone say all of, not the fruit. Is it a fruit? Yeah, it's a fruit, right? What is it? Like an olive? What is it? I don't know. All, some of you missed that. You're like, what is he talking about? All of, right? Okay, you're with me now. But listen, God has forgiven all of your sin. And all that we've done is respond to the covenant that God himself initiated. You'll see this all the way through all of the Old Testament. It carries its way into the New Testament and into our lives today. What God is asking for us is to surrender to his will, to place ourselves in his hands. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. It says, whenever you fast, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so that their fasting is obvious to the people. Truly, I tell you, they have the reward. Pastor Jason put it this way. What am I fasting? It's none of your business. Oh my goodness. The amount of times Cassie and I have shared that with each other this week, I died laughing when he said it, and it's just carried me all this week. It's been amazing. But the idea here is that we're not fasting so that others can see our piety. We're not fasting so that others can see our level of obedience. We're not fasting so that we can establish ourselves as, oh, this is the year that I will be holy. No, we are fasting ourselves because we are desperate for more of the Lord. And if nobody knows that we're fasting, if nobody sees the struggle, if nobody sees how hard it is, and yet God meets with us in that place perfectly, we have received more than our reward. Truly, I tell you, those that are fasting for the reasons to get outward recognition, they have received the reward. But instead, when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting isn't obvious to others, but to your Father who is with you in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus also said in John chapter 4, verses 32 to 36, I have food to eat that you don't know about. Let's pray. God, I pray for each and every one of our family today, God, those in the building, those watching online. God, I pray for those who have already decided and placed that fast before you, and they're 7 days in, and the enemy is trying to knock them off stride. Lord, I pray strength over each and every person in this room. God, I pray a resilience that can only come from you. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that that thing that we have given up in this season, God, I pray that it would loose its hold on our life in Jesus' name. God, I pray that it would loose its position of significance in our lives, Lord God. Whatever that thing may be, Lord Jesus, even if the people are here today and they've given up social media, Lord God, or coffee or food, whatever the case may be, God, we are fasting these things to make room for you. God, this morning, we make room for you. God, if the city doesn't know that we began this year with fasting, But all that they see is more of you in our lives. Then, Lord, we have succeeded. Help us, God, to surrender fully to you in everything we have. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Much as fasting, we step into our continued story through the life of Jeremiah. Actually, today, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts 27, because we're going to actually reference a message from Heartstrong Season 2, which you really have to rewind. It was a powerful message about Paul in the midst of a shipwreck. And some of you today, you will be reminded. I know that I had had many powerful conversations about this particular message that was shared. But sometimes in our lives, as with fasting, things don't go the way that we plan. Hello? Anybody with me today? Anyone here, your life has just completely been laid out the way that you want it to? Where am I? Have your ducks in a row, people. Can you wave at me? You love a good list, right? You love that order. You love just having everything the way that it should be. Whoo! What a journey it is with God, isn't it? To where you are constantly in that position of saying, God, not my will, but your own. But God, if you want my opinion, I'm here to give it, right? I'm ready. God, if you're wondering where it is that you should take my life, I have some ideas. I have some cool tips, some life hacks that I could just, you know, I'm just going to offer them up in our quiet time. Just put them before you. Let me know, like, how many of them you need. Sometimes in our lives, no matter how it is that we have things planned out, no matter how it is that we have things set up, sometimes in our lives, even the most obvious plan for the future before us can be totally and completely uprooted. Times in our lives where we think, oh, this is the direction in which my life is going to go. If you knew me at 18 years old before I met Jesus and he came into my life and radically transformed me, you would not recognize the person before you, because if I had my way, my life was going a completely different direction. In fact, I remember the morning where I woke up and I walked downstairs and stood with my father in the kitchen and said, Dad, I think I'm supposed to be a pastor. And he looked at me and said, are you serious right now? And I looked him dead in the eyes, and I think I even smiled. I said, yeah, Dad, I'm serious. And I walked back up into my room, and my spirit got sucked back into my body, and I was like, what did I just do? Right? I just remember sitting there on my bed just being like, what just happened? Because there was nothing in my life that wanted what it is that God had in store. I didn't want to be a pastor. People would ask me my entire life, are you going to be a pastor like your father? And I would say, no. They would say, why? It's because I have to deal with people like you. But I didn't want it. I didn't want to go through the things that I watched my dad go through. I watched our family have so many of its own issues and things that we were dealing with. And my dad was just constantly pouring out and pouring out. And I saw the toll. I saw the things that being a pastor placed on my dad. And I was like, I don't know that that's what I want for my life. But church, when God steps in, how many of you know today, he has the best plan. So at 18 years old, just before my 19th birthday, I went and spoke to my father and said, I think I'm supposed to be a pastor. Went back up and sat on my bed, and my dad grabbed the phone off the wall, because that's where they used to be. And I heard him dialing the numbers because they were nice and loud. Do you remember that? Beep, 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 right? 2 weeks later, I was in Toronto sitting down for an interview. 3 weeks after that, I started in Bible college. Church, God has a plan for your life. And may we give him full permission to simply be present in it all. When life takes a turn that you don't expect, or maybe it's been this past week where you didn't expect that this fast was going to be as hard as it's been. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been fasting with Life Center for years and you don't remember it being this difficult. I've had the opportunity this week through email to be able to pray for people because I myself fell sick on Tuesday. Glory to God, I didn't have the 3-week sickness that some of our beloved individuals here have experienced. I had a 3-day one. My wife, she said it felt like 3 weeks, but I had a 3-day one where I was just out, but I had the awesome opportunity to pray for people who shared this sentiment that this has been a particularly difficult fast. Church, can I just encourage you that when we look at the world around us, maybe at your workplace, your neighborhood, maybe when you're looking at the city of Ottawa, the surrounding area where you're from, our world is in desperate need of Jesus. And you know what the enemy doesn't want? He doesn't want you to get any closer to the Father than you already are. You know what's absolutely terrifying for the one person who wants to seek, kill, and destroy? Is that we would step into this week, this year, this week, this month, and that we would come out of it looking more like the one who he thought he killed on the cross. He's petrified of what it is that's going to take place next week at Baptism Sunday. He's terrified of what it is that's going to happen at our youth retreat as we continue to pour into these young lives who are in the front lines today. And so if you're here this morning and you feel like this uprooting, you feel like there's just this tearing down that's taking place and it's been profoundly difficult, I want to encourage you, God is present and he has a plan. You'll see it so much in Jesus' parables. You'll see it in the Old Testament when God is talking about the development that he wants to do in people. His desire is to build. His desire is to plant. His desire is to redeem and to restore. But in order to reap the harvest, you have to plant the seeds, but before you can plant the seeds, you need to till the ground. Church, this morning, as we enter into 2026, my prayer is that we would open our hearts, that we would open our arms and say, God, would you till the ground of my life so that this year would be profoundly different? May this year be profoundly different, and that there is so much of you and so less of me that in every area of my life where I see tear down, I am praying into what it is that you are going to build. God, in every area of my life where I see destruction, that I am positioning myself to declare the freedom that you have planned. God, in every area of my life that right now is being demolished, Lord, build within me a strength in my spirit to declare that you are developing a new mind and a new presence and a new reality within my circumstance. See, Israel has found itself at the beginning of Jeremiah in the midst of a broken covenant, but not on the Lord's behalf. Israel has stepped out of the covenant, and yet God continues to sustain it. Even in the declarations that Jeremiah will bring in Jeremiah 10 and 19, as he will continue to present to the Israelite people where they have fallen short, it is all with the understanding that God is not finished with them yet. He has not broken the covenant. Although they have stepped out of it, his hand is ever extended. He continues to walk with them. He continues to have his eye on them. He continues to declare a future for them. Even though they may find themselves in apostasy, even though they may find themselves totally and completely opposite of what it is that God has for them, his heart and his desire is for redemption. It's not going to look like what it is that they thought it was going to look like. We're going to watch as the Israelite people, as these prophets continue to declare, they will enter into exile. They will become captives. They will find themselves under Babylonian rule. And yet God has a plan even in the midst of the chaos. The life of the Apostle Paul was very similar. This morning in Acts 27, we're going to read in verse 39 and 44 of just one of the shipwrecks that Paul finds himself in. I don't know if you can go back into Heartstrong Season 2 and remember Paul's journey, but Paul actually experienced multiple shipwrecks. How many of you, after your first ship went down, you're not getting on another one? I don't know how many of those individuals over COVID that went on that cruise ship, do you remember that? right? There was cruise ships that were parked there and they're stuck in that room. Like, how many of those people are getting back on a cruise ship? Anyone? Everyone, like, never again. Never again. Never, ever, ever. Paul's like, oh, another ship? I would love to. Paul, how did the last one go? Not great. Not great. Not great. The boat is no longer with us, right? Well, what about the one out before that? Yeah, not great either. Not great. Not great. No. So you're getting on another ship. Why? Because God has called me to do so. This is the faithfulness that we see in the life of Paul. This is the transformation that took place in his life. It wasn't just a transition into comfort. It wasn't just a salvation that would cleanse his sin. No, it was a complete and total radical transformation in his life where he said, God has saved me and now my life is his. Come on, church. God has set me free and now I will surrender all into shipwreck after shipwreck after shipwreck. Why? Because Paul's heart's desire was that every single person that he came encounter with would have that very similar encounter that he had that changed his life forever. Wherever it is that God wants me to go, I'm going. Wherever it is that God calls me to step, I'm stepping. Wherever it is that God wants me to speak, I will speak. In Acts 27, Paul finds himself on a ship with 276 other souls. In verse 10, Paul gives advice that the trip that they're taking is not going to go well. Excuse me, Paul? Like, we're on a ship in the middle of the water. Why are you declaring this? In verse 13, at first, the ship's going great. The travel's going great. It seems like Paul is wrong until he wasn't. In verse 14, a northeaster storm begins to direct the ship and comes against the ship. And Paul, in verse 23, Paul shares how God showed him that they will get where they're going despite the storm before them. Verse 39 to 44, when daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but sighted a bay with a beach. They planned to run the ship ashore if they could after cutting loose the anchors. They left them in the sea, at the same time loosing the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and headed for the beach. But they struck a sandbar and ran the ship aground. The bow jammed fast and remained immovable. While the stern began to break up by the pounding of the waves, the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that no one could swim away and escape. But the centurion kept them from carrying out the plan because he wanted to save Paul. And so he ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to follow, some on planks and some on debris from the ship. In this way, everyone safely reached the shore. Sometimes, for God to get us from where we are to where we're going and where we desire to be, we picture the adventure as taking place a certain way. But in life, between where we are and where God is leading us, there are storms. It is forever